Good morning, everybody. I was very excited when Pastor Mike had this idea of this sermon series because I really like baseball. And some other pastors don't know a whole lot about baseball. I'm not naming names or anything, but some don't. At least one of them is a Mariners fan, so we love and appreciate him because he's a Mariners fan. And then there's other pastors that wear Yankees hats in the church announcement video. And we noticed that, and we want to pray for him some more. So, Mariners, by the way, are in first place in the division, so yeah. But anyways, I was excited when Pastor Mike shared the idea for this series. I love baseball. I played baseball. Two of my boys play baseball. And I was excited to connect three of my favorite things: Jesus, baseball, sunflower seeds. Dill pickle flavor, by the way. The Spitz brand, if you like sunflower seeds. Well, actually, if you don't, this is the best kind. And they're not paying me to say that, but that's my favorite kind. And I can't just eat it at baseball games. I have to eat it in the car and everywhere else. And my kids have learned not to ask, do you have sunflower seeds? Because I do all the time. They know now to just ask, can we have some? Because in the car, it's always there. So I was excited to talk about Jesus, baseball, and sunflower seeds, as we'll get into a little bit later. Every year in the spring, the professional baseball players and the hopefuls, they head to the warm weather, Florida and Arizona, to prepare for the upcoming baseball season. At spring training, they work on the fundamentals, fielding, catching, hitting, and it doesn't matter how long the players have been in the majors, everyone still has to go over the fundamentals. So if it's true in baseball, it's all the more true for the Christian life, and so this series is an opportunity for us to follow and to go back and look at the fundamentals of our faith so that we can ensure that we continue to grow no matter how long we've been a Christian. So in baseball, each professional team has minor league teams. And these players are usually not good enough to play on the professional team, at least not yet, but they're usually younger and inexperienced. And the Mariners have minor league teams too. They have them in California and Arizona, Arkansas, even the Dominican Republic. So these players on these teams, they get to continue working on baseball, continue training and playing, so that way, hopefully, someday they work their way up to get to play on the Mariners someday. And when you get to spring training, you have the best players and the ones that are going to be playing on the minor league teams. And the best players know that they can't just help themselves. The best coaches know that they can't just help the best players. If they want the team to succeed, they need to help others grow and help others develop to help the team get better. And the same is true in faith. Pastor Dave mentioned last week how good players need to evaluate themselves and what they need to improve on and how they can get better. And we need to go to God so that he can help us evaluate where we are and how we can become more like him. But in addition to focusing on ourselves, we need to invest in others. We need to disciple and mentor others because Jesus commands us to go and make disciples. So we need to grow in faith so we can help others grow. We need to grow in faith so we can help others go, and so that we can go. Grow and go. As we grow in our faith, we're going to help others grow too. One of the fundamentals to following Jesus is that we need to be mentored in our faith, and we need to mentor others. A mentor is an experienced and a trusted advisor. And although you won't see the word mentoring in the Bible, there's clear examples of mentoring throughout Scripture. We have Moses mentored Joshua, Eli mentored Samuel, Naomi mentored Ruth, Paul to Timothy, Elizabeth to Mary. And the greatest example of mentoring is Jesus. Jesus mentored the 12 disciples. He did it through individual relationships and through a group of them. But he taught them and he lived with them to help them learn and grow in order to prepare them to later go. Jesus knew that the church would grow because of the disciples. So our scripture for today is when Jesus taught a crowd about the importance of learning and growing in faith. I want to invite you to stand once more as we read our scripture. In honor of God's word, I'll read it today. It's from Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 of the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things to come in, and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Thanks for standing. You can maybe be seated. This is God's word for us. May it challenge us today. So in this chapter, there is multiple lessons on mentoring and on discipleship. The first one we need to know before anything else is that Jesus is the teacher. He's our teacher, mine, yours, ours. We need growth with Jesus. We may have mentors and people that help teach us, but Jesus is the teacher. Our mentors that teach us about Jesus should be an example of Jesus for us. That doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they do everything right. They're not Jesus. Neither does it mean that we are perfect when we mentor somebody else. We are to be an example of Jesus to others, but we need to remember that we aren't Jesus. The crowd had heard about Jesus. Jesus was spreading the message of God, the seed, everywhere he went. The dirt is the people listening to Jesus, and the people in the crowd could represent all types of dirt from this parable. Some may have been shallow in their faith. They may have showed up just looking for a miracle or a free meal. Some of them may have been dragged to see Jesus by a family member or a friend. Some may have been ready to accept Jesus' message, but they also had weeds and rocks in their lives. And we kind of show up to church the same way. Come to church to experience God and to worship him, but some people are dragged here, and they aren't quite sure why they came. And some of you might be dealing with weeds and rocks in your life, and you want God to clean it up so you can actually grow. Well, one major difference between the crowd that we just read about and this crowd is that they came to hear Jesus, and I am not Jesus. You could say amen or something to that part. So, okay, not so much, just a little bit. But it's my job to make sure we grow with Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our teacher. And as we grow with Jesus, we understand that God loves us. God wants us to follow him. And it's hard to get that sometimes in a setting this large. Discipleship can be tough in a big setting like this. And so it's hard to remember sometimes what things get said. Some people take notes in a message to learn and remind themselves later. Sometimes it's hard to process what gets said at the beginning, and then we're thinking about something that gets said later on. It's tough to pay attention for the whole message sometimes because we start thinking about lunch or other things on our to-do list. But being here to learn, no matter what got you here, being here to learn or worship or whatever reason you're here, it's good that you're here. But following Jesus is more than just attending a church service once a week, or once a month, or even less than that. The disciples were with Jesus all the time. But even they still had questions. Not everyone in the crowd understood the point of Jesus' message. So Jesus teaches the crowd, and he gives a confusing message on dirt and seeds. And after Jesus taught the crowd, he explains the parable in detail to a small group of his followers, the disciples. The disciples were always asking questions about what Jesus taught, and that's one benefit to being in a small group. You get to learn from each other. You get to ask questions. An important part of growing in our faith is that we grow with others. Ask questions, challenging each other to think and grow. The group leader in our small groups leads the discussion. They're not the teacher. We talked about that already, right? Who's the teacher? Yeah, Jesus is our teacher, and one way that Jesus taught was to ask questions. And so the small group leader in our small groups leads the discussion. They ask the questions. Leading a discussion is a lot easier than just having all the answers. Sometimes the small group leader isn't even the smartest person in the group. Okay, that's enough. Some people in my group are in here, and I was wondering if anybody was gonna like say something, because I'm the group leader, and I'm not the smartest one in my group. But as a small group leader, it's important for us to ask the questions. That doesn't mean we have all the answers. It means we are searching for answers together as we grow with our group. So if you thought about being a small group leader, it might be encouraging to know that that doesn't mean if you're a small group leader that you have to have all the answers. It means you get to lead the discussion and ask the questions. And being in the group is a way to grow and grow with others. On a baseball team, you have small groups to help you grow too. We have the head coach, but then we also have position coaches. The head coach is the one who communicates the plan and the goal of the team, but the position coaches, like the outfield coaches and the pitching coaches, they're the ones that mentor their smaller group of players. And the best teams don't just have a good head coach, but they have good position coaches to help the players in their specific areas. Now, we are all connected as a church, but many of us are in different stages of life, and we all need to be growing in the areas that we're at. And so it's true that coaches coach, but in the early church, we can't overlook the fact that the discipleship area for the church was everyone's job. The members of the early church took their responsibility to make disciples very seriously. Here's what Paul said to the Ephesians. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are all part of the church, and we're all part of the work that God is doing around us. The best baseball teams do not just have good coaches, head coach, or other coaches, but they have players helping other players. It's not the job of the older players to help the younger ones, but if they care about the overall success of the team, everyone will help everyone, because the team succeeds when everyone on the team is growing and getting better. When we grow in our faith and help others to grow, the church is getting better too. We grow into a better representation of Jesus to our community. In high school, I was the leadoff hitter, which means it was my job to get on base. I was the first one to bat, and so get on base, whatever you can do. And so if that didn't happen and I got out, I would then go back to the dugout, and it was my job to tell the other batters and next kids coming up what the pitcher was like, what the curveball was like, how the ball came out of his hand, if you could see it really well, how fast it seemed, or just anything like that. And I rarely got out, but when I did, I would go back to the dugout and tell my teammates what it was like. Hopefully, by me telling them what the at-bat was like, that would then help them to not get out like I did. It would have been easy for me to go back to the dugout and to sulk and complain and give excuses for why I got out and why I didn't do better. Or I could go back to the dugout and mentor the next batters and help them so that way they can do better. So my team could then learn from my experience. And we all have experiences that we can help others learn from. My parents got divorced when I was younger, and that's been something that has helped me a lot in children's ministry, helping kids going through similar situations. I can use my experience to help them and what they're going through. Whatever experience we have in life, we grow from it. And we can help others grow from our experience too. So in this parable, Jesus tells the crowd about seeds, and he's obviously talking about corn seeds because he says, whoever has ears, let him hear. Anybody taking stock in my jokes this morning? Okay, corny, I know. 3 for 3, 3 for 3. Okay, back on track. The seed in this parable is God's word. His message of love, hope, redemption, forgiveness for us all. And God's word is for us all. It's for everyone. But if that's true, why did Jesus say he speaks in parables so that the outsiders won't understand? Because that sounds like he could be excluding some. So I want to explain a little bit. The outsiders that Jesus is talking about are the people who have chosen not to follow God. All right, they're choosing not to follow Jesus and the message that he's talking about. The message of Jesus is for everyone, but not everyone is going to choose to believe it. If I tell you a baseball story, and I use baseball terms like walks and balks and runs, if you know baseball, you'll get it, and it'll make sense. If I say 4 walks equals a run, that's kind of confusing if you don't know baseball. If I say 4 walks and a balk is 2 runs, you might think I have a speech problem. But it's a baseball term, and if you know baseball, you'll understand. These parables are confusing if you do not know Jesus. And the fundamentals that we're discussing in this series, they don't make sense for an outsider who doesn't believe in Jesus. Reading our Bibles, going to church, prayer, that makes sense for someone who loves Jesus and wants to follow him. So Jesus' message of love and hope and forgiveness is for us all. God's word is for everyone. And Jesus didn't just come to speak about it. He came and he lived it. And he showed the disciples so they could live it too. Before he left, he gave them and he gave us one last command, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We learn God's word, and as we learn, and as we use what we learn, we end up leaving a legacy for others to follow. As we grow with Jesus, we grow with others, we grow a legacy. The seed is planted everywhere, because God's word is for everyone. But the seed is designed to grow and duplicate. The message of Jesus is not something we just come to church to receive, but reproduce. His love doesn't stop with us, it's supposed to spread from us, just like it did with the early church. And most Christians can give a reason of excuses why the seed, why the message of Jesus is not spreading because of them. You can say, I don't feel like being a pastor, or I don't feel like ministering, I got too much to do right now, I don't have time, I don't like other people, I don't know enough, I've got too many issues on my own, maybe once I get things figured out on myself, then I will help somebody else, help them grow. And as convincing as these excuses may seem to us, I've heard all of them, but Jesus commands us to go and make disciples. And he doesn't have exceptions for that. He doesn't tell us to make disciples except for when we're too busy. Or make disciples until the kids move out. He doesn't call us to love our neighbors unless we don't really want to, or unless we don't feel prepared. The disciples could have given excuses for not carrying out this command too. Like not wanting to die. That was theirs. The early church would risk their lives to spread the message of Jesus. Risk their lives to spread the seed. Now, we might be uncomfortable about our lives and telling somebody else about Jesus, but we're not risking our lives for that. We're not risking to let someone else grow in their faith. Jesus commands us to look at the people around us and start making them into disciples. Now, we can't make anybody do anything. So it's kind of confusing wording. And our church mission statement isn't make people saved from their sins, because we don't do that. Jesus is the one who saves. We don't save anybody. So it's our job and our mission statement as a church to introduce people to Jesus. If we're going to make disciples, we're going to use our words, and we're going to use our actions, and we're going to help others to see how wonderful Jesus is. They see our love and our light in a world of evil and a world of darkness, and because of that, they want what we have. The command that Jesus gave his followers, he gives to all of us. Jesus said he would be with us to the very end of the age, and the discipleship process doesn't end ever to the end of the age. We don't just finish it. It's kind of like raising a child. There comes a day when they're kind of on their own, but that doesn't mean the relationship ends. They might not need your help tying their shoes anymore, but they need your love and your guidance and your encouragement in other ways. Baseball players move and they get traded each year, which makes the team relationship change all the time. Coaches too. I transferred schools in college, and so I had one coach my freshman year, and then sophomore year was a different coach. And for all of us, seasons of discipleship and mentorship change, and they look differently. And thankfully, a bad season of the Mariners last year does not affect the season of what this year could be. I mean, it could, but hopefully it doesn't, because seasons change, and it happens to change with us when it comes to discipleship too. So discipleship now could look one way, and then a month from now could be a little different. Could be your kids, could be a season of people in your small group, could be somebody at a new job, or in a new neighborhood. But God brings new people into our path, giving us fresh opportunities to grow and help others grow. The seed, always be implanted. And growth is always happening. So, in your life, what are you letting grow? The seed? Message of Jesus? Is it growing? Is it spreading? Or is there worry and stress and doubt and other things that are growing in your life that are keeping the seed from spreading? God wants to use you to spread his word. He wants to use us as a church to spread his word. The best baseball players want to grow, and they want to leave a legacy for people so that they'll be remembered as being a legend of something, or they were so good back then, back in the day, and they want to be remembered for what they did and how great they were. We need to leave a legacy of our faith too. Disciple making and mentoring others is a way for us to leave a lasting impact on our community. So what are you growing? And what are you going to be remembered for? Last week, Pastor Deve talked about the fundamental of going to God. God needs to search us, search our hearts, before we go to others. So we're going to end today by asking God to search me and to show me in the area of discipleship and mentorship. Who can I grow with? Who can I help grow? Is the message of Jesus spreading because of me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church and this church family, and the many people that have made an impact on others, that have helped others grow, and that have been an example of your love to so many. Help us as we look at our lives. Is your love growing in us? Is it spreading? When people talk to us and when they look at us and see us and interact with us, do they see you? We come to you, God, to ask your help removing the the rocks and the weeds and the doubts and the stress and the things that can cause us to focus less on you. I know that I want people to see you when they talk to me and when they interact with me. I want your word to grow in me. I don't want your word to stop with me. I want it to spread through me. And I thank you for all the opportunities you give us as individuals and as a church, all the opportunities we have to grow. Help us to take those and give others an opportunity to grow. Help us to help others. Challenge us today as we leave here. We'll look for people that we can pour into. We'll look for friends or family members, or coworkers, or neighbors. And we can mentor them. We can disciple them and help them to grow closer to you. Be with us as we go about our week. And the seed that you've planted in us, help it to grow. Help us to rely on you, our teacher. And the difficult conversations or the different difficult interactions that we have with others, we aren't quite sure sometimes what to say or what to do, and that's why we have you. Remind us to come to you. And thank you for meeting us where we are at, for giving us your word, and for being a God that wants to not just let us receive your word, but you want us to reproduce your word. Help us to do that as we go. As we look at our community and as we look at our world, we'll see you in the way that you want to use us to grow with you and to grow with others. Help us to do all that so that we can grow a legacy of you and your faith, of you and our faith and our love for you. We thank you for all you do. We praise you and thank you for being a God that loves us no matter what. Be with us today and this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to close us with one final word from Matthew. Jesus' final words in the book of Matthew. I said it already, but I'm going to say it again. Will you stand with me as we go and receive these words? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. God is with you always. So let's go and do what he's commanded us to do. In your words and in your actions, let the community see Jesus in you. Let the message of Jesus spread because of West Valley Church. Let the message of Jesus spread because of you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.